Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast for our midlife tribe of like-minded sass bombs who danced their way through the 90s and noughties with our seven for all mankind jeans slung low and our heads held high. We are the women who put the power into girl power. I'm Sarah Kaywood, former indie alumni and Camden pub botherer, and my co-host is Lou Mitchell, former rave alumni and student union botherer. It's getting harder and harder to write those intros. Like, what haven't I said about us? How are you, babe?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much. Although looking like this, I'm in full tramp mode, as I said to you.
She looks like shit.
I'm wearing Nike tracksuit and a beanie hat because my hair is so like, shocking. Look, I put a necklace on to try and pimp it up.
So my hair, you obviously this is a podcast, so I won't go into too much detail, but where I bleached it, it's all broken off at the back, so I've had it cut really short, which I don't really like, and the red won't stay in it because it's been so bleached, so it's really porous, it falls out. So
Olaplex. Have you been using it?
Yes, I have. Olaplex. But I'm not in a happy hair place. But it's fine. I mean, at least I've got hair, and you know, at this stage in my cancer journey, I haven't got to have chemo, so I can hang on to it. So.
Do you go to sleep on it with Olaplex in?
Yes.
Okay.
So is that
you're doing
all right?
Everything you can.
I'm wondering.
No, that's what you should do.
When my friend Alex came today from Los Angeles, she's got curly hair, beautiful curly hair. And I went in to talk to her because we always like get in bed and talk to her before we go to sleep. Because I only get to sleep every 5 years. So she's hashtag adorbs. But she has a silk hat that she wears in bed. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll get one of those. I bought our friend Jo. I bought her a silk pillowcase.
You've
got
a pillow. Did you not get your silk pillowcase?
I've got my silk pillowcase. But then it needs hand washing, and I'm lazy about hand washing, so I can go weeks with it. It's sitting on top of the dishwashing machine at the moment, waiting to be hand washed. I'm just looking dirty. So maybe I need to get something I can shove on my hair.
Yeah, but although then you'll just be waiting to hand wash that as well.
Yeah, but I guess there's wash and wear then, isn't there? Do you think this is really boring for everybody? Fucking shut
Probably.
Up now. Is everything all right, though?
On to the guest. Get on to the guest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, shall we get good. On to the... You know what? She's so epic. Let's get on to the guest.
Irregular. Bitches.
Now, I'm not normally that at ease with the term warrior when it comes to breast cancer sufferers, but our guest today is actually the real deal. As a consultant breast surgeon, she fights for us all on the front line of care, and then in 2015 had to start fighting for herself when she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. Her Instagram is full of practical, no-nonsense advice for women, and we are thrilled that she's taken the time to talk to us today. Please welcome Liz O'Riordan!
Woo!
Massive applause from the crowd!
What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So I was directed to you. Lou won't know this either because I haven't told her. So when I mentioned my diagnosis and then I realised that there might be drug interactions with tamoxifen when I go on that. About 10 of my followers are like, you have to go and follow Liz O'Riordan. She's absolutely amazing. And so I went over and I thought you were American at first because of the Kettering Sloan Memorial, which we'll talk about later. Yeah. That will come up. But then I watched a few of your Insta lives and I was like, oh, I need this woman in my life. follow. So where are you at in your treatment at the moment, Liz?
So I was diagnosed in 2015 and then I had a local regional recurrence in 2018.
Right.
And touch wood, I am cancer free at the moment.
Yes.
Which will take.
Yes.
I'm dealing with my mum who's having cancer and it's very strange being on the other side. But October is always a really tough time because it's everywhere. It seems to be very, very triggering if you're newly diagnosed. It's hard to ignore it, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my friend Richard. He lost his wife last year, Faye, who became famous locally for being the young mum who died. You know, yeah. She had triple negative, which is, you know, as you know, it's more aggressive. And he came round the day of my lumpectomy with a massive bunch of flowers and some cupcakes. And I was like, is this horribly triggering for you, Richard? Mm. But he was lovely. He's very on board with it. So, yeah, it is what it is. And also, I wanted to know, because I have looked at your blogs and everything, but I don't know if this is a rude question to ask, but what are you... Okay, women that don't have breast cancer, there are all sorts of different kinds, and we're going to get Liz to explain which ones. But the kind of the good kind, if there is a good kind, the best kind to get is the estrogen receptor positive. Is that right?
So it's weird, it's kind of a myth. There's so much we don't know about breast cancer. There are lots of different ways of classifying breast cancer, so I may as well just start now. Mm-hmm. You can either classify it by the bit of the breast it comes from. And most breast cancers come from the ducts that take milk to the nipple, which is ductal breast cancer. Then you can get breast cancer that comes from the lobules, like the meat of the breast that produce the milk. And that grows in a different way, so it can be harder to see on a mammogram. And then you can get inflammatory cancer, which is breast cancer of the lymph vessels underneath the skin.
Right.
And that can mimic mastitis. And then you take all of those three cancers, they can all have receptors for estrogen, progesterone, and Herceptin.
Right.
The most common is ER positive, which is what most women have. Mm-hmm. And generally we think that's a good cancer to have because we have lots of treatments for it. The ones that give you the hot flushes, the hormone blockers. But that can come back 20, 30 years down the line, mm-hmm. and it can develop resistance to the drugs. Then you've got Herceptin positive cancers, which used to have a bad prognosis until we discovered the drug Herceptin, which now gives them a really good outlook. Triple negative is thought of as the bad one because it doesn't have receptors. It doesn't work with tamoxifen and Herceptin. Okay. We can only really give it chemo. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's often more likely to come back because we don't have those preventative drugs that everyone else has.
Oh, that's why it has a high incidence of recurrence. I didn't know that. Oh, I'm already learning things.
But having said that, I've known patients who've had triple negative cancer and 20 positive lymph nodes who are still alive 20 years later. Mm. And women who've had a small ER positive cancer and it's come back in 6 months. There's so much we don't know.
Yeah. And I would say, because we interviewed a lady called, a wonderful journalist called Rosamund Dean, who's just come.
I know Rosamund. I was speaking to her earlier today.
Yay!
Yeah.
We're all irregular bitches.
We're in the gang.
We are.
And she obviously had triple negative.
Triple negative,
and,
yeah.
And stupidly, before I'd even thought, she was like, I told her about Faye, she went, and how is she? And I was like, but then I clawed it back by saying, but my sister-in-law had it 12 years ago and she's fine.
Yeah.
Because you want to hear the happy stories, not the bad ones, you know. So I slid into her DMs and apologised for that. I went back to her and went, I'm really sorry. That was really like just, now you have
but
to
that's
excuse
the thing-
me.
Yeah. Everybody knows somebody and you want to share that common sense.
Yeah.
And I think when you're first diagnosed, you don't want to hear about anybody's auntie. But when you're a little bit down the line, it's like, yeah, everyone's going to know. And the problem with Instagram is there are always people you know who are dying.
Yeah.
Because they're on social media and that guilt of, God, they're alive and I'm not. And what do I do? It's a really hard place to be at times.
Yeah. I've had good cancer guilt. Like in the stage one and it's really treatable. And I felt guilty. Like when Richard came round, I was like, I wonder if he hates me a little bit because he wishes Faye had got this one. Do you know what I mean? And it's difficult.
It's crazy, but we all feel it. Mm. And then people feel guilty that they haven't had proper cancer. They haven't had chemo. So they don't get the sympathy because they look well. They've not lost their hair. Everyone thinks they're fine. But mentally, you're still dealing with the fact that you've had cancer.
Well, today was the first time I got scared about it coming back, actually. So I haven't had my results yet, but I was just... And I had a little panic and I started frantically checking my boobs in the shower. So checking the good one. The one that's not blue.
Yes.
But what I'm going to do, and the only reason I want to say this is because I think all women should do this. But when I go in for my results next Friday, I'm going to ask the breast care nurses to take me into one of the rooms and show me how to check my boobs because I'm not sure if I'm doing it right.
So I did a video on this to show people
Did you?
How to do it. and what breast cancer feels like, because you see a lot of people standing up in the shower with their arm above their head, and that's fine if you've got tiny boobs, but ideally you should do it lying at about 30 degrees, so lying back in bed, which just lifts the breast up onto your chest wall. And I've got a great video where I use car sponges and a lollipop, so you can feel what it's like when you're pressing down. But a lot of women don't know how to do it properly, and I never checked my breasts. I'm a breast surgeon. I'm never going to get breast cancer. What's the point?
Most
women don't.
That's one of the things I wanted to ask you. Were you just like, fuck off? Of course I haven't got breast cancer.
I never did it. It's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
It's not going to. And I saw a cyst appear overnight, what I thought was a cyst. And I've got expert hands. It was only my mum saying, go and get it checked out. I'd had a mammogram 9 months before for another breast cyst. I wasn't worried. But I never checked. I think most women only do when someone famous gets diagnosed, or it's October, or it's in a TV or a soap. Yeah. Most women don't.
It is sort of the, it very much reminds me of the Jay Goody effect, you know, and you don't.
Yeah, completely.
I've been trying to tell people to go for their routine mammograms, because I think I may have told this story on the podcast before, but you, Liz, you need to hear this. So when I went for my results, it was when I went for my biopsy, and there was a woman, one of the receptionists at the breast care unit was on the phone to a woman who had clearly not attended her the three appointments she'd made for a mammogram, and she was a bit annoyed with her. She was like, well, are you going to come this time? And she hung up, and I went, why do people not show up? That's bonkers. That's just, and I guess there'll be people listening that are going, I didn't show up.
I'm feeling like I'm going to make an admission.
Louise.
What now?
Well, I'm 52, Dr. Liz, but when I was 21, I went for a lumpectomy. And what I haven't told anybody is I had had that lump for 3 years without telling anybody.
Didn't you just have it hanging over you, though?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Oh, no.
And it was life-changing in so much as I will never do that again with my health or anybody else's health. Mm-hmm. It turned out fine. I had a lumpectomy. It was precancerous cells. Nothing since. But that whole living with it for 3 years, feeling scared to the point of not doing anything, I think is quite common. Dr. Liz, do you come across people like this?
It's very common. It's the fear of finding out that it could be something. And when I was diagnosed, I knew quite a few people who said, I'm not going to go for the mammogram. I don't want to know.
There we go.
And as long as you haven't seen a doctor, it's not real.
There we go. Exactly.
And that's why we still get women presenting with fungating cancers on the chest wall that they've just hidden, because they're so terrified of finding out what it is. I don't tell anyone, it's not real, and maybe it will go away.
And that's fear. Sarah Harding, isn't it?
Will it be painful? Will it hurt? I don't want to know. And the problem is, a lot of young women are getting breast cancer, and people think it's becoming more common, and it's not. It's just old ladies aren't on Instagram. But a lot of doctors, you automatically assume that a young woman doesn't have breast cancer because it's really rare. It's like 1 in 2,000 cases are young, so they might not get referred as quickly. And then you think, oh, it'll be nothing. I'll leave it alone. I won't get it checked out. Like Deborah James, I won't check my poo. It'll be fine. I'm invincible. The power of youth. And there's no guarantee.
Right.
You see, we're a medical firm. My dad's a surgeon. Well, retired surgeon.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he was an ENT surgeon. So not only are we quite a pragmatic family, but we're also, like, I would always get stuff checked out. I had a mammogram when I was probably a similar age to when Lou had hers, because a boyfriend found a cyst. And I think it went away, but he was like, he said to me after he'd been manhandling me, he was like,
yeah,
you've got a little lump there. And I was like, thanks, babe, I'll get that checked out.
But it's really common for partners to find breast lumps.
That's wonderful. Copper feel. Do that.
Yeah, definitely.
But people do have, I was told that I have lumpy boobs. My boobs are lumpy. So I have to know them to know if there's something extra, which is a whole different, you know, minefield. And I have watched your video, and I absolutely will be doing that on a regular basis, although Oh, no, I won't say what I was going to say.
No, sorry. Go on. Come on.
Go on.
I was going to say,
on.
Duncan is fairly attentive. This is my partner, daughter Liz. He's fairly attentive on a daily basis, so I probably won't get away with it.
The reason that Lou won't ever say the rude stuff is because she knows her mum listens. Sorry.
Okay. Liz, mum. Okay.
I think your mum knows that Duncan will cop a feel every now and then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
She absolutely does know that. That is very true.
It would be weird if he didn't. Come on now.
So, Liz, why did you decide to start blogging about your cancer journey and getting on? I mean, because you've got quite the following on Instagram. I love it.
I have. So I, at the time, it was mainly Twitter, and I used to tweet about triathlons and baking bread. Mm-hmm. By doing all the sport, I could eat all the cake. Yeah. And I was being treated in a hospital, not where I worked, but where my husband worked as a surgeon. So everyone would recognise me. I was going to lose my hair. And I thought, I can't keep this a secret. I'm not embarrassed about cancer. I want to just try and get people talking about it. So my husband and I sent a tweet. We both pressed send at the same time. And I swear it was one of the best days of my life. Because I was flooded with support from other cancer patients, other doctors with cancer telling me how to cope, what to do. And I kind of found this tribe because I didn't meet another patient during my breast cancer treatment. I was a side room for my reconstruction, chemo. I was the youngest person in the room. And I just found blogging started because my mum lived in Scotland and my brother lived in Switzerland. And it was a way of telling them what was going on without having to cry over the phone. My husband was a tech guy and I started blogging. And I realized that I could write quite well about explaining what was happening without being sensationalist or exaggerating. And patients started talking and doctors and nurses started talking, saying thank you. And I thought, I can still be a doctor and I can still help people whilst I'm off work having treatment. Mm. And that led to me being asked to do talks, which led to me doing more writing, which led to me joining Instagram and just a new way of helping people. Mm. Because I had no idea the kind of crazy questions people like me ask when you're diagnosed. So I'd never, as a surgeon, I had never been on a breast cancer patient forum. Why would I want to know? It's not my job. Mm. And then you read women asking, is it safe to have sex during chemo? Because I'm scared my husband's hair will fall out. Or can I take turkey tail mushroom supplements? Or what do I do about the fear of recurrence? And I thought, I wasn't helping these women. And it may not have been my job too, but this is a new way of helping when I had to retire as a surgeon.
Now, you've actually just hit on the very reason that I was so, that well, why I slid into your DMs, and Lou knows this because obviously she was one of the people that I was talking to about this. But the supplement thing is a minefield. Like you just mentioned turkey tail. I'd never even heard of turkey tail until I went down the rabbit hole of Dr. Google after I got diagnosed.
Yes.
And I'm just ordering it on Amazon now.
Ooh, no, Dr. Liz will be ever so cross with
you. No, just been doing some research and some crazy honey that people are flogging. It's crazy. And the thing is, most doctors don't know that cancer patients are scrolling the internet looking for something quick and easy to cure them. Because we're not on Instagram. I had never been in the cancer space as a cancer surgeon. And we assume everyone knows you eat a healthy, well-balanced diet with a rainbow of fruit and veg. You don't need supplements. Mm. There's no one thing that will cure your cancer or stop it coming back. Otherwise, we would tell you. And then Instagram happens. And there are influencers with hundreds of thousands of followers who must be telling the truth, spouting this and spouting that. And people are spending hundreds of pounds a month on stuff I've never heard of. You don't need it, but it's like that quick fix. It's like, God, I'm as guilty of anyone going into the Chanel counter all dressed up saying, please give me a bag full of freebies that I will never use, but I want to walk out with that little bag swinging. It's that, oh, look at my little supplement top. Yeah. We are gullible. We are vulnerable. We know it can come back. If one person says this worked for me, yes, I'll take that.
I think, and it's not just that, like, obviously we started Irregular Bitches because of the menopause. And I think the two very much go hand in hand. Like, every person that we speak to about the podcast, don't they, Lou? Everybody is looking for that. Well, and that's why I got in touch with you. I was like, oh, can I take this menopause supplement? Because that is full of snake oil as well.
And it's a cash cow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so what... Can I be completely honest with you?
Yes.
I don't eat well, Liz. I don't
Neither
eat
do
well.
I
don't have a rainbow of fruit and veg. And
I feel better already.
I know. Rob, look, the breast surgeon doesn't eat well either, people. Right.
Not all the time. It is really hard to cook fresh food from scratch every day. It is really, really hard when you are both working and you come home and you think, sod it, and I'll get meals out. It's really hard. And there are days when I know I should be eating healthy, but I will just have bagels and cereal for lunch and breakfast. Protein, what's that? Fruit? Nah, can't be asked.
Okay.
It's hard to live healthily all the while.
So what would you say to sort of... I think the two tribes are pretty similar to the breast cancer sufferers and the menopause you know, faction of things.
Or midlife, just midlife.
Midlife. What are we meant to do in midlife? Because the cancer thing, I'm sort of okay with that. I'm not going to start taking any sort of random supplements but that's because I am pragmatic and relatively medically
And you've
minded.
Listened to Dr. Liz.
Yeah.
And I've listened to Dr. Liz. But when it comes to the menopause supplements, I, until recently, was that girl spending a couple of hundred quid a month. So is there anything that you would say you should take?
I think a general multivitamin is a good thing to take, and if you are menopausal, then a bone health supplement, because you can get osteoporosis, your bones can weaken, and after breast cancer, if you're on an aromatase inhibitor, that can weaken the bones. So a general vitamin D calcium supplement, and that should cover everything you're not getting in your diet. A lot of people, I have a protein shake for breakfast because I don't like cooking protein. I have like a chocolate milkshake, and I know that helps me, and just trying to remember to eat an apple or an orange or something in the day. It's really hard. But a multivitamin will top you up. The problem with the menopause, especially I've got collagen, the damage was done 20, 30 years ago. It's my years at university, drinking like a fish, living off fish and chips and toast, being in smoky nightclubs, you know, not putting on sunscreen in a while. You know, we all did
fun,
it.
Fun.
Yeah, you're 20, you're invincible, you're only an alcoholic if you drank more than your doctor, you know, I'll have 10 gin and tonics a night. I lived the life as a medical student, as a junior doctor. And that's why my skin is really wrinkled and thin, because I didn't look after it. And you can slap what you like on your face. It's not going to do any good.
Damage is done.
Collagen supplements are the waste products of fish and meat bones. And there's no guarantee of where they go in your body. They may not go to your lips and your skin. They may go to your joints. But it's that magical, we need stuff to make us feel better. And if it makes you feel great spending the money on it, that's fine. But actually, spending that money on fruit and veg and exercising and getting a decent night's sleep will probably do the same thing. But
spend
it's boring,
it on a Peloton,
and it's
people.
Not fun. Yes. Oh, you're not one of those, are you?
No, we're not Peloton people. It's okay. No. I know Peloton people. They're only, I'm going to offend lots of people now. They're only a bit boring about their Pelotons.
Yes, you're not
they
friends
are.
With them.
They are. But they're exercising, but we just don't need to hear about it all the while. See, I'll let you into a secret. I operated on a 90-year-old lady having a mastectomy, and I was doing under local anaesthetic because she got a really frail heart, so she was awake. And she'd come to theatre with a full face of makeup, foundation, powder, lipstick, the works. She looked better than I did.
Fabulous.
And when we'd finished, my male anaesthetist went to her and said, "You've got amazing skin." And she said, "I'll let you into the secret. Nivea cold cream and tomato juice."
That's it. You heard it here first.
There you go.
Okay, Liz, I've got a confession to make at this point.
Oh yeah,
here we go.
It's 5 PM on a Friday, kids.
Gin and tonic time.
Bloody Mary! Tomato
Perfect.
juice.
There you go. Tick one. It's 80-20. You have to enjoy yourself, and you have to give yourself a break if you're having a tough day. Nobody's perfect. And half the celebrities having a healthy diet have got chefs and nutritionists and meals delivered to the door. If you are looking after other people, it is really, really hard.
I have always said that if I had if I go and stay in a hotel, I eat pretty well because it's there, but I'll have a fruit salad because it's right there.
It's all done for you.
You've not had to chop and prepare and peel grapes and pineapples, and it's hard work.
And you know, I realised as well, so I don't have any children at home during term time. One's at uni, one's at school. And I realised that I was buying all the fruits and all the rainbow and everything for my children, preparing it for my children, and then not eating it myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is ridiculous, isn't it? So now my latest thing is, no, I'm carrying on buying all the things that I used to buy and eating it myself and not throwing it away.
And you do feel better when you start eating it, but it is hard. I got trying to work out what to cook each night.
Oh, dumb.
I find that's the planning so hard.
I just end up cooking the same five things over and over again. And also, my kids are quite young at the moment, so I have to cook different things for them and then something else for me and Andy because they're fuss pots. And I can't wait till the day where I go.
It's exhausting.
Cook it
really hard.
Yourself because I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
It does
anymore.
Come. It's a great day. Yeah.
Ketchup's really. Red.
Yeah.
Isn't it one
we
of
we love Dr. Liz.
Yeah.
Isn't it one of your five a day?
Tomato in there somewhere.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So just to talk to briefly revisit the whole menopause thing, because the menopause supplements, is there, because obviously we've had people on that have, we've talked about the whole hormone balancing thing, and then there's HRT. Now Lou and I are actually perfect for midlife women now, because I'm not on HRT anymore because I've had to come off it, and Lou is on the HRT, and I know that there are certain things we both know and everyone knows that there are certain things about HRT that are brilliant, but is there anything that you should be looking out for menopausally, like I don't want to say this to a doctor, I use inverted commas, balance your hormones, because that's a bullshit term, isn't it?
I think it's a bullshit term.
It's a bullshit I've only just become aware of that being a bullshit term.
I think, and the menopause is a natural process. It's not a disease. It's what happens when women's ovaries run out of eggs. So you lose estrogen. And estrogen is a natural lubricant. And that's why everything feels a bit stiff and a bit tight and a bit dry. Mm-hmm. It happens to us all. And a lot of women struggle for a couple of months, 6 months, 12 months, and then they get over it and they're absolutely fine. There aren't that many who have really bad menopauses. But it's a bit like TripAdvisor. The people who are more angry will shout the loudest. So you think everybody's struggling.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of women are actually okay after a while when they get used to it. Mm. And you can't balance your hormones. It's a natural imbalance that happens when your ovaries switch off, because you're not meant to have babies when you're 90. It's kind of accepting this is what happens, and it won't be great for a while as your body adjusts. And the things that can help are boring. As well, HRT is a fantastic drug for the first 5 to 10 years, but it's exercise, it's sleep, it's eating well, mm-hmm. it's drinking water, it's just trying to rebalance your whole body.
Yeah.
You don't need to do weird hormone urine tests to see what your hormone levels are. It's all rubbish. It's all people selling you things to try and make you feel better, but actually you don't need it. There is a bit of grin and bearing.
And then, but as a doctor, I'm sure that you would probably agree, and my dad always used to say this. He used to say, if the placebo effect works, like you were saying earlier, if you want to take a supplement and it works for you, then do it. Have the test, you know, take the DIM supplement, do the thing. If you think it's making a difference, then what's
and you
the
can
harm?
Afford to spend the money on it. And it may be, if you're a supplement person, then you are healthier anyway, because you may be looking after yourself more, and you may be cleansing and toning and moisturizing because I'm taking my supplements. Yeah. And who knows whether it's a supplement that's doing it or it's everything else, but don't take it because you think it's going to have some incredible magic effect.
Yeah, I've heard that actually, about like whenever they've done studies on people that take supplements and whether they work, generally people who take supplements have healthier lifestyles because they are more into it. So, and that makes sense, doesn't it? I think water really is that. I don't drink enough water, but
I think tea counts, but it doesn't. But we should all be drinking a lot more.
Doesn't tea count? It's not got that much caffeine in it. Doesn't it count at all? I was sure it counts. No.
They say it doesn't. And I don't drink enough. I drank loads during chemo because I was told to. But now it's like, I can't be bothered. But I feel so much better when I drink a lot of water.
Yeah. Right,
but it's boring and it's hard work and it's not fun.
And you pee all the time. That's what winds me up. I haven't got time to keep going to the toilet every half an hour. I've got shit to do.
That does wear off.
Does it?
You do get more used to it. Yes,
do you drink a lot of water, Lou?
When I'm properly looking after myself, absolutely. Mm. At the moment, no. Look at me. No good for a podcast, but full tracksuit and beanie at the moment.
She looks like fair listener.
She looks fabulous.
She looks like shit. I'm joking.
I can take it.
Now then, Liz, mentioned this. I touched on this very briefly at the top, but going back to breast cancer. So menopausal, knock yourself out, take your supplements if you want to, blah, blah, blah. Breast cancer, different kettle of fish. You yes. can't just take a fucking supplement willy-nilly when you're menopausal no. and you are also being in treatment for breast cancer. Can you explain why?
I would love to. So if you're having chemotherapy, the whole point is to kill cancer cells that are growing quickly. And you often have three or four different chemo drugs that work in very different ways. And if you start taking supplements in high doses, they can interfere with how chemotherapy works. They can stop it working. They wow. can slow down cell growth. And if you slow down cell growth, the cells aren't growing fast enough for chemo to kill. So if you want to take any supplement during chemotherapy, you have to tell your oncologist. And if they've never heard of it, it shows you that you don't need it. And there aren't any supplements. There isn't any magic honey or magic turmeric, which will help you cope through chemo better. Mm-hmm. It's rubbish. But you have to be really, really careful, because the whole point of chemo is to save your life.
Right.
And you don't want to take a supplement if it's going to stop those drugs working.
Don't fuck with the process.
Exactly.
And what about, so I'm having radiotherapy and then I have to go yeah. on. Is mine a tamoxifen? Is that what did you call it? An aromatase inhibitor?
No. So there are two ways. Your breast cancer is sensitive to an estrogen. So the more mm-hmm. estrogen it has, the more quickly it grows. Now the surgery has removed it. So we assume you don't have it anymore. But there may be cells fast asleep in your bloodstream that could wake up. So we give you drugs to lower the amount of estrogen in the body. And that hopefully stops those cancer cells waking up. Tamoxifen works by stopping breast cells absorbing estrogen. So you right. still get some estrogen absorbed in your bones, so you won't get osteoporosis, but you have much less in your blood system. And that's why you get the symptoms of the menopause. Tamoxifen is metabolized by a series of enzymes in your liver to a chemical called endoxifen that's 100 times more effective. But that group of enzymes in the liver is very sensitive, and a variety of drugs, alcohol, foodstuffs can change how it works. And if you're taking supplements, for example, turmeric, St. John's wort, that interfere with that enzyme, your tamoxifen won't work. It's as simple as that.
Wow.
But the leaflet and tamoxifen cannot list every single possible foodstuff and supplement.
Mm-hmm.
We know there are things like grapefruit juice, which even taken large amounts can stop it working. The same with alcohol, the same with some antidepressants, but it can't list everything.
Mm-hmm.
The other drug we use to stop breast cancer coming back is an aromatase inhibitor, and that's given to women after the menopause. And when your ovaries stop, you still make some estrogen through an enzyme in your fat called aromatase. And this drug stops that working, so you don't have any estrogen. And that isn't affected by as many supplements. So it's probably safe to take things when you're on an aromatase inhibitor. But I would ask you, why are you taking them?
Hmm.
They're not going to stop your cancer coming back. Do you really need them? Are they worth the money? But with tamoxifen, you have to be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't find any information about it, then you probably shouldn't, just in case.
Right. And I know that you have, I'm sort of trying to tease this out of you because you and I both know about it, but Lou doesn't. But there yeah. is a website, isn't there?
Yes. So it's the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Foundation have a great website, which talks about every botanical herb supplement. And you can put in what you want to take and it will tell you information about why it's meant to work, what it's meant to do, what the side effects are, drugs you should avoid and things you need to worry about. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to go for information.
Dr. Liz, could you say that again? The Memorial...
Yes, it's Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, so MSKCC. So if you Google that and then herbs and supplements, there's a link in one of my Instagram videos and I can give it to you to put in the show notes.
Thank you.
Oh, lovely. Perfect. And it's actually... I went there after I heard you mention it. Stupidly, yeah. I was like, is there a really good hospital in Kettering?
Well,
Northampton.
That's where my mind went.
No, yeah. It's America.
It's America. It's one of the biggest hospitals in the States. But it's a great free resource because people ask me about stuff and I think, I've never heard of this. That has to tell you something if I've never heard
True.
Of it.
Yeah.
But you need to do the research yourself and just check, is this actually going to do what they say it is?
Yeah. I'm now really concerned because you've said that tamoxifen will make me menopausal, but I'm already menopausal. So my hot flush is going to be even worse. I'm so hot.
If you're going to have the cold turkey of coming off HRT.
Well, I've done that. That's what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah. So tamoxifen may carry that on for a while. You'll kind of go into a new menopause. And most women grow out of the symptoms in 6 months to a year.
Right.
Most women, it does settle down. Not everybody, and some of us have horrific symptoms, but there are lots of drugs you can be given to help cope that aren't right. HRT.
It's, you know what, I have to be honest, like you were saying earlier, it's like you it's the people that shout loudest. And actually, because I said to Lou, she was the first person I called, I'm going to have to fucking come off my HRT. And then I came off it, and I was like, waiting. Oh, it's actually all right. Feel okay. I'm not instantly like horrific and suicidal. Nope. But I am getting really bad hot flushes that like at night. Yeah. But that's fine. They're also doable. And I'm actually
separate
quite...
duvets. So my first night
sweat.
Somebody
else told me that today.
I thought I'd wet myself. I just felt this trickle of fluid going down the crack of my butt and my thigh. Oh, God, I've wet the
there
bed.
There we go.
And mattress protectors, because the sweat stains on my mattress and my pillow from all the night sweats, and separate duvets. So I can toss it off and on and I don't bother my husband.
Yeah, I have been joking on Instagram this week. It's like...
And lube. Lubricant will be your best friend.
Yeah, that's if you're having sex, Liz.
But even no, because it can get vaginal dryness, and some women get cystitis and trouble peeing, and it can be a bit sore. Uh-huh. Vaginal lubricant is fantastic, but it's got to be a sensible one. Because a lot of the stuff you get off Boots has got glycerin and chemicals in that can cause thrush. So if you are that way inclined, there's a great lubricant called Yes. Yeah. That some GPs will give on prescription, and another one called Sutil, S-U-T-I-L, that are completely safe.
No, and I do. I do have, obviously.
I won't bring the dilators up and the vibrators and the vaginal dilators.
No, keep those to yourself.
I'll keep those.
I want to know about them. I'm going to Google them.
You want to know about them?
Yes. Come on, Liz.
Because estrogen is a natural lubricant, it's why your vagina gets dry. So everything can be painful.
Right.
And for a lot of women, the thought of penetration can be scary because everything's so dry and tight. Mm-hmm. But you can get silicone dilators that start at little finger size that you can gently insert in the shower with some lubricant to gently stretch the vaginal walls. Oh. And regular masturbation can help relax the vagina and get you used to it. So there are ways to get back to penetrative sex if you're just a bit terrified at the moment.
It is. What is that thing? It's like I mean, I have said, okay, this is maybe... Sorry, Lou's mum. But I think that masturbating is really important. And because it helps you... tick over sexually. And I've always said that I think the less women go without any sort of sexual activity, the less they want it and the more men want it.
Exactly.
So you're at odds with each other. And actually, I can't remember the last time I did have a fiddle. So I probably need to have a fiddle.
And you may find you need to fiddle differently after the menopause. A lot of women need harder, stronger pressure. And when your libido goes... masturbating can help remind you how good it feels when you do come. It's also a great way to have a good night's sleep. And actually that can help get you in the mood when you're mentally not there.
It's never awful, is it? It's
never.
When you do it. Yeah.
No.
Well, Lou's sex drive came raging back when she went on her HRT.
It didn't last, though. It didn't last.
Or did it not?
Or did it not?
No. Oh. In some ways, that's a good thing.
Was Duncan knackered?
For who now?
Both of us. It's ridiculous. I've got enough hours in the day. Ridiculous.
I love that. I love this.
So it calmed
down. Because you have your kids aren't there anymore. My kids would be in therapy by now if I did that.
And I'm now sat watching a squirrel outside burying his nuts and my brain's going in a completely different direction. It's got a mouthful of walnuts.
Yeah, it's all nuts, isn't it?
So
it's gone away, has it now, babe?
It calmed right down, and I am quite delighted about that. It was ridiculous. There we go.
Right, anyway, back to the sensible stuff. Thank you, Liz. Thank you for clearing that up. So I will... I'm not going to take any supplement. Although somebody did say today that when I get my radiotherapy, Manuka honey is good to put on the burns.
Yes.
Is that okay?
So I would be guided by your radiotherapist. You want the area to be dry. And a lot of people get mild skin burn, but sometimes you can get weeping ulcers. I would be recommended by what they say, because what you put on may interfere with the treatment they're giving you.
Right.
And the radiotherapists are fantastic at telling you what lotions, potions to put on. You want something that's not going to irritate, that's not going to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. Manuka honey is good for healing, but I wouldn't put it on without telling your radiotherapists.
Right. Okay.
Be guided by the experts who look after women like you day in, day out.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Get your advice from the people who know. It may be right. I'm not a radiotherapist, but I would just check with them first.
That was actually what was so wonderful about being... about advice to come to you, to go and follow you on Instagram, was like, it was a lot of women that were like, well, I don't really know, but I know a woman who does. So that was wonderful. And actually, while I remember, Liz, what is your Instagram so that everybody can go and follow you?
It's O'Riordan Liz.
O'Riordan Liz. And and it's not O'Riordan.
Jon Snow got it wrong.
I know, I'm in good company. I said to Liz, I went, I've just done a whole school run chat talking about Liz O'Riordan. And then my husband heard me and went, it's a really common Irish surname. It's O'Riordan, you plonker.
Yeah.
And I was really embarrassed.
I didn't know how to pronounce it because I didn't know any Irish people.
Oh, there we go.
My husband was my boss.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yes. I was his trainee. And then he asked me out and now I'm the boss.
As it should be, Liz. As it
exactly.
Should be. Well, it's been enlightening. I don't think there's... And I know I'll get off from this and go, there are a million other things I wanted to ask Liz. Is there anything that you want to ask?
I'm really happy with that as a whole episode. I think that's perfect.
Just brilliant.
Lots of information.
You are a true irregular bitch. You really
Thank you.
Are.
I'll take that as an honour. Can I have a badge I can wear when I go out, please?
Well, maybe we need to start making some up, like Blue Peter badges for the midlifers. Yeah? Like, are you one of us? It's really funny when I got a little bit told off after I'd been on Loose Women by some people who really took umbrage at the term the Carlsberger breast cancers, which I said, if you have to get it, this is the one to get. Let's call it the Carlsberger breast cancer. So I did like quantify it by saying it's shit, but you know, it's the better end of the stick. But people got very, very upset with me, didn't they, Liz?
I think the cancer world is very funny online and there are so many people who feel so many different things and you will upset a lot of people when you start talking about it. And I've learned to take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
And as long as I believe what I'm saying, not everyone's going to like it, but that's okay.
Perfect.
And each journey
we're all at different stages.
Exactly.
Absolutely. The journey word. We're back on Strictly.
Oh, no, the journey word.
I don't mind the journey word.
Oh, no. It is a journey.
We're not a reality show, Louise. It's okay.
No, it is a journey.
It's overused.
It is overused. Yes, and
sod
I
off.
Also
we've
just
had
think...
cancer.
Oh yeah. Okay, sorry.
Fuck you.
You don't understand. Yeah. You're not in our club. You don't get it.
Oh baby, I tell you what though. That's the other thing that I found about like the cancer club is as inclusive and lovely. Mainly, apart from you know, you do get the odd.
Yeah.
Like you said, there can be people that are kind of just upset and I don't blame them. But it's midlife women as well. And I've had so many everyone's been lovely. Everyone's just been lovely. It's been a real eye-opener of support.
You're not alone. Yeah. There's always someone who will give you tips and advice. It's just the most welcoming, friendly place to be.
Absolutely. And you know, we've all got each other's backs. And Lou, if you ever have to join the club that nobody wants to join, then we've got your back, babe.
Thanks, mate.
But I'd rather you stay the fuck out.
Yeah, well, I'll try my hardest.
Your name's not down, you're not coming in. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, that, no, cool.
Well, if one in two people get it, between us, you've had it three times, so you should be
there
fine.
We go. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Liz, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for asking me.
Eye-opening. And in what is an extremely pertinent month as well. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. The book is in the post.
Oh my God, I forgot. Let's not, come on. Liz is really a book.
Let's name the book. Let's name it.
Let's name the book.
So I wrote The Complete Guide to Breast Cancer to answer all the questions I had. Mm-hmm. And it covers everything. Sex, family, children, diet, it coming back, mental health, you name it. Because it had all the questions I wanted to know. So that's out there, audiobook.
I'd completely forgotten. I should have put that in my intro, actually. I'd completely forgotten that you wrote an epic book as well. So thank you for your gift to us all. Very much appreciated.
It's also really good for partners to read to understand what it's like to go through the menopause or why their partners are struggling. So give it to your husband or your wives and they might actually understand what's going on in your head.
Yeah, I did actually give
And why Andy are the doctors doing that? Well, read the chemo chapter and now you'll get it and I don't need to be the doctor. So it can be quite a good way of doing that.
Yeah, Andy had to stop. Just before I give you your proper sign-off, which I've written and it's lovely. But Andy had to stop himself from saying, stop being dramatic. After, bless him, because I can be historically, Liz. I have been known maybe... to be slightly drama. I was on telly for a reason. And so, but it was just the sort of the way he always used to speak to me to calm me down. And then, and I was like, you know, you've got to stop saying that. And he was like, yeah, I do. I'll stop saying it. He doesn't do it anymore.
Good.
But cancer can be dramatic. And I think you do need to let all those emotions out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, onwards and upwards anyway. I'm cancer yes. free. We're cancer free. Yeah, yeah.
We are.
Brilliant.
We are.
So Liz, thank you very much for joining us. Do you know what? It's an extremely pertinent month for women, obviously. It's both Breast Cancer Awareness Month and World Menopause Month. Two massive things in one month. I mean, go figure. I think a man must have come up with that idea. You always say to squeeze us both in, squeeze the two massive women thing into one month out of 12. Fuck off. Your wisdom is very much appreciated and we're sending you so much love and hope that that bugger stays right away from you now. Right, not welcome
here,
back.
Here.
That's all for this episode, but thank you. Thank you, Andy. Sorry if I've sagged you off again. He toiled to get this episode out for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are extremely grateful. Thank you, darling. To Chopasaurus for our catchy theme music and to you guys for listening, sharing and recommending Irregular Bitches. Please keep on doing that. And also feel free to leave us a glowing review as well.
Oh, it really helps. Yes, five stars.
It really does.
Really helps.
It really does.
I've started getting in the habit now of just mentioning it to everybody I meet, which I think that was, and now I do, I'll just go, well, have you listened to the podcast? And then I literally will take that.
It's time to be shameless.
Totally.
Yeah, I send them a link.
Yeah, so do I.
DMs. Yeah, yes. Send a link. They're like, how do I get that? I'm like, I'll make sure
I'll send it to you. Yeah, absolutely.
But email signature.
Absolutely. If you want to email us, you can. It's irregularbsbaby. Louise found that address. It's brilliant. Irregular bullshit baby.
Love it.
irregularbsbaby@gmail.com. irregularbsbaby@gmail.com. But for now, let me hand over to Luby Lou for the catchphrase.
And it's stay cool, bitches.
I wish I could.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.